Hi, welcome to my podcast. This is part of a short series on method, and we're going to look today at a little exercise I call the scales. Now, like the other exercises, this should be simple and yet powerful. So let's make a start. One of the most influential and devastating results of becoming addicted is that we develop a strong bias towards negativity. Now, you may have heard it called low self-worth or low self-image or self-esteem or any number of things, but basically it's a tendency towards looking at yourself in a negative way. And what it means is that over the years you've slowly but surely started to see everything that is connected to you in an unreasonably negative way. So the main point is that any kind of change work, any kind of difference you want to make, has to take this negative bias into account. Now, we can use techniques that rebalance us in that context, and this is one of them. Say if you had a calculator that had a fault, and that fault resulted in it always added 3 to every calculations. Now, that would be okay as long as you knew about it. As long as you knew that it had that fault, you'd soon develop a method of just subtracting 3 from every calculation and you'd be fine. The problem would be if you didn't know about the fault. So this would make all your calculations wrong. Allowing for your faulty calculation is what this scales exercise does. Because you're seeing yourself negatively and it's become such a way of life, you may not be aware that that's what you're doing. But I have to say, this exercise does more than that. When you learn this simple technique, you'll also benefit from a second effect. By comparing what you did, what you used to do, with what you're doing now, you can go on to congratulate yourself more and underline the difference. Now, this is important because your brain's always learning from any new information it receives, and it rewires itself when it receives it. So it's a way of giving your brain better information. Now, I call this method the scales, and I use it whenever a client of mine shares about some kind of change or progress. My ears prick up then and I invite them to use the scales, and I want to invite you to use it as well. And I want you to use it frequently, especially if you're in early recovery. I'll first give you the method and then a simple explanation of how it works. When I see it's a good time to use this method, I ask my client to hold out both hands open in front of them, as if they are a form of scales. I ask them then to describe what they did, what they've just shared, and I ask them to put that memory in their right hand. I then ask them to tell me what they would have done in the past in that same situation. Now, this memory goes in the left hand. I then invite them to weigh these two things up, asking themselves which one they prefer and why. The old memory could go back, a month ago, a year ago, it doesn't matter. It's the comparison that's the important thing. Then I ask, what is the worst thing that's ever happened when they responded in the old way, when they did the left hand? I track this experience all the way back, using always the worst result, before asking them to put this back in their left hand. Now, it's important when we do this, we don't use any kind of fantasy, but we stick to reality. What's the worst thing that ever happened when you did it that way? And you'd be surprised how bad this can get. So we put that back in the left hand, and we ask the client then to weigh these against each other again, taking time once again, that we acknowledge that there are some challenges in the right hand, but mainly establishing the benefits of the new way of handling this situation. In other words, we're underlining it, we're anchoring it in a therapeutic way of looking at it. So it's worth saying that these are often typical finds in this technique, such as, let me give you a typical one, looking at the way that facing an immediate difficulty is often a new way, and putting things off is often the old way. This will probably be made clear by the exercise itself. So let me give you an example now to show you what I mean. This would be a typical scenario. I've done this many, many times. A client rang me to ask about a situation that was tricky, but not too difficult. I recognized that this was a new way for this client to handle this situation, by calling me and by sharing it, by facing it. And so this became an opportunity to use the scales. So I asked him what he'd done previously when this situation had cropped up. As he explained what he usually did, I drew out the story and continually used the question, "Now, what's the worst thing that ever happened when you did that?" We then had a full or complete story of what could go in the left hand. I then asked him to put the challenge of and the difficulty of ringing me and sharing this difficulty in the right hand. Following this, I asked him to compare and weigh up the difference between the two. Now, it is as obvious to him as it is to you and me that the way he was dealing with this now was preferable and led to far better consequences. Now remember, this is not an exercise to get you to do something differently. It's an exercise to help you recognize the value of what you've already begun doing. And that's important for my approach. So use it when you notice any difference in your behavior, attitude, or conversation that seems to improve things. One of the other values of this exercise is the way that once it's been done around a certain set of circumstances, it can be referred to again and again. You can remind yourself about what is your preferred outcome here. The better you've underlined it and the better you've given that information to your brain as part of the exercise, the more you can refer to it as good practice, the more your brain will rewire itself around this difference and give you your preferred outcome. So as a way of just rounding this off, I want to add something that I always say at the end of this exercise. I often ask a client, how much have they congratulated themselves on doing this better, on doing this differently? And often they'll say, not at all. And it can feel a bit weird to say, well done to yourself. But again, what it does is level up this playing field that is so lopsided, often in addiction. The way that you view yourself, your abilities, your reaction to things, your chances of success and so on, are all likely to be heavily biased towards negativity. And so when we congratulate ourselves, although it feels a bit weird, like a lot of things I suggest to you, it will become a way of life and you will see the benefit. Now, remember, you have to see things like this as similar to physical fitness. You know, if you came home from the gym after that first session, you wouldn't feel better, you'd feel worse. It would be difficult, but you would know that you were doing things that are going to help you in the future. So I want you to take that grown-up view to this and start to congratulate yourself. I often used to ask clients, when I did more group work, I would ask them this question, how many good things have you done today? And they would often look at me blankly and say things like, oh, I've not done anything good today. Nothing good's happened today. And I'd say, you know, I would easily think of 20 things you've done well today without even trying. The fact that they got here without, you know, crashing the car, the fact that they got dressed, the fact that they got out of bed, the fact that they fed themselves, the fact that they are listening, they're curious. There's all kinds of good things going on. And essentially, it doesn't really matter what the thing is. What matters more is that you give your brain the message that you have done something well, that you have done something better. So let's leave it there. And I want you to try that exercise and keep trying it. Remember, every time you notice yourself doing something better, doing something different in a good way, then use this exercise and really get the message across to help your brain rewire. Till next time, thanks for listening.